welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Boys, we have much to discuss today in the area of book promotion, because regardless of what else is happening in the world, and there are many things happening, there are B-list Christian celebrities with books to promote. And we're going to talk about how they do that, because...
Not referring to ourselves, of course.
No, we are C-listers, actually. Okay. So yeah. we'll devote a whole...
D-list.
Yeah, C and D-listers, for sure. We have a realistic view of who we are and where we fit in all of this. But we're going to talk a lot of book promo today. But Piper, speaking of book promo, it's only appropriate that you have a paying customer of ours, a business partner. For how long? How long are we partners with this gentleman?
For one episode. But since podcasts live in eternity on the internet, I guess you could call it an eternal partnership.
It's a lifelong partner. When I see this guy in the street in 20 years, I'll be like, hey, remember that thing we did together? Yeah. You know, Ronald, that feeling of that bond that you get, the fraternity.
100%.
You know, yeah.
It's like you look to get the other person in the eye and you say, like, the possibilities are endless. What's our day look like now?
Dude, yes. What I love is that everything in this business is so lasting and meaningful. You know what I mean? There's no aspect of this that's just throwaway and forgettable.
You're going to see the guy. You're going to be getting coffee. You're going to talk about getting an Airbnb together. You're going to talk about doing vacations with the families in the summer. It's all happening.
100%. Now you're confusing him with Jared Wilson.
Correct.
Baby, how's the Jared relationship? You guys still solid?
Yeah, of course.
Great, dude.
Just stronger than ever.
Stronger than oak, Jerry Maguire.
I find it somewhat interesting that we ask Ronnie about the status of that relationship more frequently than, like, I ask my closest friends about the status of their marriage.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
It's more important.
or is it just more fragile?
I don't know. Super interesting, boys.
Yeah, it's been leveraged more heavily. It's more important.
Me and a buddy of mine that lives in Kansas City, you know, 2,000 miles apart or whatever.
Babe, we definitely get more out of this.
Kansas City to frolic through. I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me that.
You had a lot of photographers and fedoras and nose rings up there.
Maybe so. After all the photography is over, after all the friendships.
It's just you and Jared in a field of cotton.
Have sailed the seven seas. It's...
Pipe, tell us about this book, man. I bet it's groundbreaking and a tour de force.
You know, the copy they sent me didn't include tour de force, which made me like it 87% more. Yeah. So the author is Mike McGarry. It's from Randall House Publishers. Mike is Mike's a faithful and longtime listener of this show, so that should give a little cred to him as a at least as a person. I assume the listeners to this show are all good people. So, the book is called A Biblical Theology of Youth Ministry, which, if you're familiar with biblical theology or youth ministry, that doesn't sound like it goes together, because one of those is a fairly rigorous study, and the other is youth ministry. He ties in youth ministry to discipleship through generations, and how the Christian faith has always taken seriously the discipleship of young people in growing them into faithful believers. And so this is a really significant book for people who are seeking to train and teach teens primarily. And I actually am about to get a copy for the youth minister at our church, because he's the kind of person who takes this seriously, as opposed to just being, you know, the fun and games guy. And so, yeah, it's looking at practical biblical foundations for students that will give them the biblical knowledge they need to grow as disciples of Christ. It's written for primarily youth ministers, but also for parents, like myself. I have two kids in youth group right now. And nice. It kind of wipes away some of the tropes of youth ministry that have become, so popular. They were probably even more popular like 10, 15, 20 years ago, the attractional fun and games things, and gets back to the heart of building up people into Christian adults, as opposed to trying to just keep them in the church via fun and games. So again, the book is called A Biblical Theology of Youth Ministry by Mike McGarry. The really significant book. It's I don't know if it's groundbreaking, but it is a fresh take on something of some significance in an area of ministry that is often not taken very seriously. So I'm grateful he wrote the book. I'm going to get one for Vince Greenwald, who's the youth minister at my church. And yeah, y'all should go get this.
Nice. That's a good promo pipe. And it really does look like a good book. I did my normal thing that I have the capability of doing in the studio, which is looking at a picture of the author. And I was about to make some like youth pastor jokes, but this guy doesn't look like a youth pastor at all. So I have nothing further to say about it other than it looks like a great book. And I wonder, boys, if Mike McGarry were to send out a copy of this book promotionally, like in a huge box with a bunch of colorful shredded paper, as is the standard nowadays in our industry, what kind of like tchotchke would be included in the box? Because Piper, you received a promotional book yesterday that came with a little hammer, a little toy hammer, so you could build the future of the church.
Yeah, it was a church leadership book, and not one that, you know, I didn't order it. This was one of those promotional copies.
Sure.
And it came in a really nice sort of shiny black box with like the
sleek.
The sort of shadow toned brands on the outside of the different the different consultant brands. So not like bright yellow on black, but like slightly lighter black on dark black kind of thing. So very subtle, very classy. I opened it up.
Smell the glove from Spinal Tap.
Yes. Yeah. So I open it up. It is stuffed with paper, and then there's the book, and then there's a full cardstock, like a full page cardstock color letter introducing this thing. So one side is all the promo copy, the other side is the author's face, very large.
Yeah, suitable for framing.
Yes, exactly, as one does with all book promo materials. My office is riddled with them. Mm-hmm. And then the kind of coup de grace of this promotional deal was the sponge foam hammer with the consulting brand on it. So that I can help build the future of the church was the line. So the future of the church will be built by sponge foam hammers.
I love it. So they're going to have to sell probably 500,000 copies just to recoup all the costs that went into that promotional mailer. With this youth ministry book, what would be the tchotchke in the shredded paper in the box for promo purposes? I'm thinking like a Frisbee.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. If it was a standard youth ministry one, it would be like hair gel or something, you know?
Yeah.
But this is a biblical theology of youth ministry, so I feel like it has to go kind of a, hey, we're not like all those other youth ministry books direction, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So what would be the more like, what's the more kind of, what's the more thoughtful direction for this?
Right. A bow tie.
That's it. Yeah,
something that says academia. Little bow tie. I don't know.
A small package of like craft roasted coffee. So like enough for when you grind it, you get like one French press out of it.
I mean, now you're describing what we're going to give away in our book promo though, Pipe. I mean, we should probably.
Well, you raise an interesting question there, Ronald. What's the tchotchke in the huge box that the Happy Rant reader comes
in?
I
mean, I say, you know, I want to go. I'm always about, you know, let's double down. I mean, let's not
they
just
call them double down.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Let's not. They call me double down. So I don't want to just give an item. I mean, I want to make people feel like they're like, it's like Christmas when they open that box. I want to include, you know, some gift cards, some cash. I mean, let's make them real excited that they purchased that thing. You know?
That's right. Let's make it so that we have to sell 1.5 million of these for the publisher to.
It'll be motivating for us, baby.
Baby, what if we just gift wrap the box like a present with some Santa Claus like wrapping paper and a ribbon and
let's put that in the contract, man. Let's revise the contract.
Let's do it. We'll get the agent on the
phone. I think on our promotional letter we need to put glossy photos of all of the people who aren't us who are featured in the book. So all the famous people. So
that would be great.
Matt Chandler, Mark Driscoll, John Piper, Al Mohler. Get all your favorite white reformed or formerly
we might even
reformed
be able to get
guys.
You know? We'll give you what you actually want, which has nothing to do with us, but about everybody that we're talking about.
Baby, what are the chances we can get back in that cotton field with Ashton or Jordan or
Ashton
whatever?
Ashton with a Y. Yeah.
What do you mean? What are the chances? The chances are fantastic if you boys want to come out to the great state of Ojai and we'll do this thing.
You know? Dude, agricultural question for you, Wendell Berry. When do they harvest the cotton? Because we gotta sneak in this photo shoot before the harvest.
Oh, I mean, everybody knows, Big T, that
everybody. I'm ashamed to even had to ask.
It's harvested in October.
Well, I mean.
It's insane. It's insane that you, an Indiana native, had to even ask me. I should be asking you that.
I know it. All my people, all my loyal Indiana listeners are leaving the program as we speak.
Anybody that knows about cotton, I'm talking to them right now.
That's right. So, how long has this like tchotchke in the box motif kind of been a thing in the publishing industry, Piper?
I became aware of it in the book world when Seth Godin became a thing, because he sent, what was one of his first big books was called Purple Cow. You know, and the whole premise of it was like, if you're driving along past fields and fields of, you know, cows, but you saw a purple one, that would be the one that stands out. So that needs to be like your thing. Like, what's your purple cow? The idea that you have that stands out, which is, you know, I mean, this is like original Yoda tweeting.
That's good business
stuff.
Talk right there.
But he sent the book out to influencers in a purple milk jug.
Whoa.
So and then asked them to put the purple milk jug on their desk. So when people come in, they go, "What's with the purple milk jug?" And then they talk about his book. So it was it was quite the scheme. I don't know if I'm supposed to put the foam hammer on my desk or what.
It's really reaching, man. I mean, it's so funny that like everybody thinks that like that actually is going to sell somebody an extra copy of a book. It's almost can't believe that that is the conversation that's being had. But like, I've been in those conversations, so I can affirm that it is indeed the conversation that's being had. You know, like if we include these promo items, it's definitely going to help the saleability of said product, you know, and you just like, it's just mind boggling when you're thinking about like, really, this is the best you got. Like, so back in the music days, it was like, really, you're printing up 25,000 lollipops with the band logo on it. Like, that's what you're sending out. Like you're sending it out to somebody that's already going to get the record for free, and you've just given them something to like suck on while they listen to it. How is that selling me more copies? Like, I need to understand.
You'd think the free stuff would be, if you order this thing, we'll send you something free. Cause then it's like a tit for tat kind of thing. You know, there's a trade going on here.
But it's not. It's like you're sending it to influencers or radio station people or promo people. It's like people that already know they're getting the product for free anyway. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, and in the case of a record, it's already a fun product. You know what I mean?
For sure.
A book is not a fun product. I mean, to be honest, there are only a handful of books we actually want to read. But with a record, it's like, that we used to drive to the mall to get.
It's a little more fun, right? Yeah. It's a little more playful, no pun, and fun in general, right?
So exactly.
I think they've tried to cross over some of that promo stuff because they used to, like, you guys, like, they would go crazy. Like, especially if you were a band that sold, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of units. I mean, the box they would send out and the promotional items that they would make were insane, man. It was just
what, baby? Give me.
I don't know. Like, so, okay. So like, I'm trying to think of some of my compatriots that were on the same list. So like, say like a bigger band, like the Supertones, who sold like, you know, almost a million records or whatever. And I don't know, man, they'd be sending out just all kinds of like kitschy items of the day, you know? Whatever kind of kitschy items were happening, like bracelets and,
puka shell necklaces.
Puka shell necklaces.
That'd be in the youth ministry book.
The big thing was like finding like food items that you could brand. And then like, you know, packaged food items that you could sort of brand and then send those out. So they did that all the time.
Dude, what kind of food item is robust enough to like?
Oh, I mean, if it was the Supertones, it had to be like a branded can of Surge.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. No, totally, Pipe. It would be like something like that, or it'd be like some generic like Ding Dong. some generic package Ding Dong, but the packaging would be like the name of the new album, and it would be like that kind of thing, you know. And then you get your puka shell necklace, which would have one letter of each name of the band on each shell. And
it's really about the music, though.
It's all about
the art.
about the music.
Yeah, despite the brand of ding dong and what that might convey, right. it really is about
Michelle Netflix on. You're eating your ding dong and you're like, this is the greatest.
Drinking your Surge. Yeah.
This is the greatest record I've ever heard.
That's right. I really like the artistry in this. I really respect this author. You know.
I mean, I wonder what people are going to say about our book when they're eating our ding dongs.
Dude, I'm so ready to sell out. If it would make us money, I would put 14 ding dongs in each box.
I prefer Twinkies, but maybe we can do both, man.
Maybe we could compromise. Maybe we could do both.
Maybe
you
we
know? Aren't we sort of the oatmeal cream pie of podcasts, though? Like,
I'm down with an oatmeal cream pie. I mean, I'm good with that pipe. I'm not going to argue.
I think that suits us better. It's kind of an underrated,
you know what I would love
prepackaged snack.
Awesome. It's like a box of cereal, like a Wheaties.
Oh, dude, I would love for us to be on a box of cereal.
Like a Wheaties box, sort of our version of that with like us on the front. How epic would that be?
Dude, that'd be epic.
Which cereal?
You pour out the cereal and eventually you get to the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the book comes out of the cereal.
The book comes out of the cereal. The cereal box is the packaging.
Yes. Yeah, dude, why do all the shredded cardboard?
Why do the shredded paper? Make it cereal. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Dude, the shredded paper is just wastefulness.
That's how we serve people. Like, we're giving them a meal
and then
a book.
And then people could put it on their desk next to Seth Godin's milk carton, and you've got milk and cereal, and it's perfect.
Gosh.
I love this so much. I hope Kyle from our publisher is listening.
Yeah, I mean, Harvest House has a ton of work ahead of them.
They really do. Round the clock. I hope they're working on this. So, what does Dave Ramsey do? Just put in some change, some cash,
empty like envelopes.
Yeah, empty envelopes. What does Stephen King include? Like a knife with some blood already on it.
Yeah, I think he puts in there like dried blood. He just like sprinkles blood on a piece of paper on whatever the letter is.
Exactly. I mean, the possibilities are endless with these. Channing, of course, just puts in a freeze-dried steak, right?
Yes.
A little side of beef.
Dude, perish the thought that would be freeze-dried, Big T.
Well, I know, baby.
It'd be like beef jerky. It'd be like, if you want the real stuff, you got to go to, you know, Texas Craft Steaks or whatever it is and order. But here's some beef jerky.
You know what Channing does?
What's the name of his steak co again, man? What is the name of it?
I think it is Texas Craft Steaks.
All right, keep talking.
Baby, how solid is that name?
Oh,
look, you have a little catch in your spirit when you heard that.
I did. Yeah, I'm hyped right now,
dude. Now what they really do for a big time influencer, they just walk a cow like right up to your doorstep, like it's mooing. It has that little clanging bell around its neck.
Channy's just going to give everybody a cow for the explicit gospel part two.
That's right. That's right. And the
what
book
is it called?
Comes
Texas
like
Craft Steaks.
I think so. Right. And the great thing about that cow is like it doubles as a sacrifice, so you can slit its neck and burn it on an altar it's great.
Guys, right when you go to Texas Craft Steaks, the first thing that it shows is a delicious steak on a grill, and then below it is a gift card which you can give the great gift of great beef.
Mm.
So I think maybe we should include one of these gift cards in every one of our, along with the cow.
That the publisher's paying for, of course.
Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, no doubt.
Baby, I'm on the cereal idea, though. Like, I'm not going to give that up easily.
Yeah, I think the cereal thing just.
Yeah, you've been dreaming of
cereal has legs, man.
You've been dreaming of being on a Wheaties box since you were like four. So that.
Oh, 100%, dude.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
that
used to
be for
thing.
Athletics, but I never knew in 1,000 years it would be from being a mediocre C-list author that would get me on the Wheaties box. You
hey,
know?
Don't confuse mediocrity with C-list. You're a great author who hasn't been discovered yet, Ted.
I'm a great C-list author, doggone it.
And people like
boys, same people like me.
I think this book's going to move us to the C-list.
I think I landed on what the youth ministry book needs to include as their tchotchke, and it's a small bottle of Axe body spray.
Mm. There you go. There you get you ready for those retreats.
Yeah.
The lock-ins.
Ready to spray down the 13-year-old boys who smell like old socks. Just solve everybody's woes.
So listen, Texas Craft Steaks, you know what their tagline is, guys? I mean, it's so ironic, unless you knew this, Big T. It literally is the best beef in Texas delivered to your front door.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't own the whole company, right? Did he just buy into this company, or is it like his company?
Yeah, he's a co-owner, I think.
Oh, okay.
He actually owns the Dallas Cowboys,
at this point too. It's a little franchise maybe you've heard of.
I don't think he owns the Cowboys. I think he just bought the stadium, Big T.
Yeah. It's Texas Craft Stadium now. He bought the naming rights.
He's gonna actually Channy's gonna rebuild Astroworld. That's what I heard.
Oh, dude. Channy World.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. That would be incredible. We would go there. We do a live show there.
Oh, are you kidding? We would be so years. There. We need yeah. to be a, it's not even a question.
Absolutely. So speaking of people taking advantage of marketing opportunities, boys, and this is just brilliant work from Drisky, longtime marketer, just has a feel. You know what I mean? Just has an innate sense.
And just so upstanding in all of his ideas too. Like he's on the front end of like creative but very sound ideas.
The kind of thing where you just go, you know what? Well done. I tip my cap to you, Drisky. And his latest kind of masterstroke of book marketing genius is yesterday, as parts of America were burning to the ground yet again.
Specifically the part called the Capitol building in this case.
That's it. Kind of an important part, as it turns out. You know, not to bury the lead there, Piper. So Drisky has a picture of rioters at the Capitol building. So a mob of people, all I'm sure safely masked and distanced. And he includes the following caption. While the world is rioting, the church must be praying. Hashtag pray like Jesus book and sermons launched this week. So far be it from any of us to lose a marketing moment to what otherwise could be construed as a really sad and confusing day for America. Drisky used it to move some products. So tip of the cap on that one.
Is this when we say, Mark, you're better than that? Is that the appropriate response?
Are any of us better than that though? Like, I just feel like this is the kind of person and the kind of move that, I don't know, the last 20 years of adult life has created. So, I don't know. I'm trying to put this in conceptual terms so that we can think about it individually. What's the grossest and saddest thing that's ever been leveraged to move a book or to move product? And I feel like we missed an opportunity, boys. I mean, yesterday came and went. None of us promoted the happy rant.
I'm a little disappointed Ronnie wasn't like, hey, Donald Trump, stop complaining, and then put up a picture of his book. You know, that kind of thing. That would have been
an example of what I'm talking about.
That's why I'm still a D-lister, guys. I don't have that kind of marketing savvy. You know,
that's true.
You know, Ronnie, if you were going to send out tchotchkes with Stop Complaining, you know, when it's reprinted, expanded, re-released for major sales, you could just put a picture of all of the whiniest people from public personas in there and just be like, hey, this book is endorsed by these people or changed their lives or something like that.
Just a picture of the happy rant. on the front of it.
Consider us whiners?
I mean, you know, I would say we do a little bit of crossover on occasion.
You think we're on the whining spectrum? Mm-hmm. And at what level?
Oh, I don't know what level, but we're definitely on the spectrum for sure. I mean, that would be disingenuous to say otherwise. You know, we do our share of whining for sure.
Yes, we do.
If I've learned anything about spectrums in the last few years, it's that everybody's on the spectrum. Everybody's on the spectrum somewhere.
Everybody's
Ryan,
on every spectrum.
Yeah.
That's what we're finding out. There's a spectrum and we're all on it. It's called the spectrum.
Dude, we're on the a-hole marketing spectrum too, to be fair. And if anything, I'm just bummed we missed the opportunity yesterday.
No, I know. We get that. You're not really making fun of Drisky as much as you're saying, gosh darn it, Drisky, you stole.
Gosh darn it, Drisky, you beat me to the punch. Yeah, you stole our thunder yet again. So, I mean, Drisky's got a lot of tanning appointments and hair dye to buy. So I hope he moves some product and that'll go as well.
And listeners, if you're bummed after the political climate and the burning of the Capitol, I'm sure you're just hoping for happiness. And turns out there's a book by that title that could scratch all of your itches. So I'd just go look for it on a little site called Amazon.
Would you say that yesterday was a hard thing on a beautiful day?
It really was.
Of an essay collection that I like. And I like it because I wrote it.
It was a very hard thing on a beautiful day, and worth reading about for sure.
I would say even more poignant than that, Big T. Mm-hmm. It really kind of showed the world why we are not emergent.
Except that the whole world is emergent now.
But why we're not.
Right.
And why we still love the church.
Except the whole world doesn't love the church. But yeah, conceptually.
And boy, if all those people holding up Jesus Save signs didn't show themselves to be the bridezilla of Christ, I tell you what.
Oh, baby, now there's a bestseller. There's a bestseller just waiting to pop, you know? Yeah. Terrific.
Just give it a few. If we can just give it a few more months to catch.
Just give it a few more months. I think the strategy all along, and I feel like I remember
burner,
this. Yes, I feel like I remember this from the meetings was, you know, they just kept saying over and over, baby, give it a decade. You know? We're playing the long game here with Brad.
We're trying to find God in the dark on this one. So just give it
guys, you really seem like you have some doubts about the success of your books. And so just help your unbelief, really, truly.
Oh, yeah. See? Maybe we are good at this promotional thing, boys, and we just haven't seen it financially. Maybe 2021 will be the year of us kind of seeing finally the fruits of our labors financially.
Well, probably when people just tune into our genius is really what it is.
Exactly. Boys, I feel like there was something else that like the people wanted to hear us talk about. What jog my memory. I feel like you sent another thing to the group chat, Piper. And I guess I have the technology to scroll up.
Yeah, you're asking me to remember what I said.
That's
not how this works.
That's all of
it. Yeah, they lack desire. You know,
I send it so I don't have to remember.
To grab your phone and click and scroll, man. It's a lot. It's a lot to ask.
I mean, you're asking a lot right there.
I know. I understand.
Was it the megachurch sending notes to encourage people to vote for America?
No, that's too political.
Oh, that's too political. Okay.
That's going to get leveraged by, you know.
We'll get canceled by somebody.
Although, Ronald, do you want to speak into that, though?
What?
This could be a good moment for you.
What do you mean?
The notes, the megachurch and the notes and stuff.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you do. You replied to the tweet.
I did?
Not the tweet. You replied to me sharing the tweet with you.
Oh, dude, hold on. Let me click and scroll here.
Then there was the other one, Piper. There was the amen and a women thing.
This is
great. That's
radio
the one
right now.
That's the one we can talk. That was the one that the listeners, you know, voted up.
I feel like that one's
safe. Radio we got going on right now.
There's also the fact that Ted Cruz looks like Jared C. Wilson.
There is that one too.
As long as you're scrolling back through our text thread, you're really giving a window into how we discuss and get ready for show.
Guys, we missed that one thing we're going to talk about in September. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I'm like 6 months deep into this thing now.
The amen and a women thing was that was a fun one.
Yeah. What do we think about that? Let's do some radio on it. Give us the synopsis, Piper. Who said amen and a women?
It was a person praying in, I want to say it was, I don't know if it was a state senate or like the senate, but he closed his prayer with, you know, something very generic, like, and in the name of God or in the name of our Lord, amen and a woman. And
so he's a courageous, great person is what I'm hearing. He's the best person.
Yeah. He really took a stand for something.
Yes.
And then of course out of that came, you know, just endless wordplay, memes, types of things, you know, where people just anywhere the syllable men is in a word, they dropped it in, like you smoke Wimenthal cigarettes and things like that. So those made for a day and a half of good fun. I think my favorite were the truly outraged theological takes, because I think sometimes absurdity just needs to be left on its own, because like it just shows itself to be absurd by existing.
Right.
Like, I don't think that one needed a 9 reasons this is terrible think piece from whoever, but a few were written.
Yeah, the thing itself is terrible enough. Just let it stand.
I think my other favorite thing about that is the assumption that there's entered any gender implied in the word amen, as if it doesn't have a meaning all on its own that has nothing to do with the sex of anybody.
Dude, so that begs the question. And I don't know what our listeners wanted when they suggested that as a topic, and we're for sure probably not going to deliver. But what's the most banal, like, moment in human life that's been leveraged for, like, I don't know, political, like, virtue signaling or whatever? Because that one has got to be, it's got to be close. It's got to be on the Rushmore of, like, banal throwaway moments that somebody has found a way to, like, leverage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Prayer is one that gets leveraged because I've heard people pray to, like, Mother God and things like that, you know, where they just,
sure,
or God or Mother, those kinds of things, you know, so they're kind of, again, pushing a nonsensical theological take into a what could just be, like, neutrally ecumenical.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else is there. I mean, my favorite are the think pieces where people are like, you think it's good to hug your kids? Let me tell you 11 reasons why it's bad. It's just like the alternative hot takes where they they're just finding something to be right. controversial about. And they're like, your children don't need hugs. They need to be abandoned in the woods or whatever that's it right. is.
Dude, that's so good. That's a great example. Yeah, you take the least controversial thing ever.
So this one hit a little close to home for me. I remember seeing this one because I was like, that's the dumbest take I have seen in a long time. So it was an op-ed written by a divorced single mom who was talking about how having joint custody is the best version of parenting because after exhausting yourself for a week, you then get a week off.
Yeah, there you go.
And she's like, someday my kids are going to read this and they probably won't understand. I'm like, yeah, they probably won't. They'll think it's really
they
awful.
They probably won't agree.
they'll think it's really awful that you like to get rid of them every other week.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
as
they
somebody
won't agree. They won't agree while they're in jail.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate, like, let me essay about why the thing that I do is the best thing.
Yeah.
That'd be like me writing an essay about why watching too much football and overeating is really the best way to live.
When every person in statistic that's ever existed has proven that it's not.
Exactly.
Well, and it was absolutely written from I feel guilty that, like, I feel miserable that I can't provide my kids with the kind of home that I expected to. And so I'm just going to pivot the other way and justify it instead of being like, I have to make the best out of an unfortunate situation. Great. And so that I just remember reading that and going, if anybody agrees with this, they're the single dumbest parent ever. I mean,
but if you don't agree with it, then you're kind of the bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're telling her you don't deserve to have a week off, or you failed, or something. I mean, any disagreement comes off as judgment. And I would say that's one of those. I don't know if it's banal as much as it is just a terrible take in a situation where, like, everybody understands the situation. It's unfortunate. It sucks. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should just leave it at we're making the best out of something that's terrible.
Yeah. That take feels very ignorable to me. It seems like the only way through it is to ignore it.
It felt a lot like somebody's, like, diary entry that they then wrote into an op-ed, you know, writing like, man, some weeks I'm just exhausted and I guiltily enjoy getting some rest. Yeah. You know what I should do? Publish this in the New York Times.
That sounds like the kind of, like, you know, girl, wash your hair, your life is messy, it's okay kind of deal that sold literal billions of units. We should be doing that for men. We need to do whatever the equivalent of, like, hey, your life is messy, but it's okay. Do you think that would fly for dudes? And if so, could we leverage that into some bucks?
What if that's a chapter in the Happy Rant book?
I dig it, dude. I mean,
the messy life of men or something like that.
Yes. Like, hey, buddy, it's okay. Your garage is dirty and I don't know. I don't even know.
Yeah, and the laundry's piling up because somebody else will probably take care of it for you. And, you know, it's okay to overeat and watch football.
That's right.
Maybe sounds like a graphic novel you need to get on. Like, real quick.
Yeah, those have been lucrative for me. I'm for sure going to get another deal to write one of those.
You know what? I got both of those books, I believe, and there were no tchotchkes. So...
let's just say they got kind of a slim, kind of a streamed down marketing approach to those books.
Okay, here's your slim. next Here's your next marketing opportunity, Ted. It would probably require you getting on social media, which might be a no-go. But, you know, the next time an actor is caught in, like, a scandalous situation, you post and you're like, you know, if Kevin Spacey had read The Awkward Life or the whatever life of an awkward theater kid, this wouldn't have happened. It would have redirected his life completely. Actors, get this now.
Let me distill for you guys. This is a little peek behind the curtain in the high level world of publishing. Let me distill the kind of marketing agreement on those two books. we'll print these, and that's it. And I was waiting to hear about the book at the box with the tchotchkes and the shredded paper, but it never came. So, what we agreed upon was kind of a minimalist, kind of a hipster approach to marketing, which was just, we'll make your book. And I said, you know what? I'm in. You had me at we'll print your book. So
I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, boys, but there was a time, there was an age and an era not that long ago when it was up to the publisher, or in my case, the record company, to actually wait for it, do the majority of the marketing.
Yes, the what a bygone era. That was a different time, a simpler time, baby.
They used to have these things called marketing departments.
Yeah, you know? They still have those. They're make no mistake, they're still paying people full time.
Yeah, they're still paying marketing people full time.
They're 11-year-olds running Instagram accounts with inspirational quotes.
Exactly. What a magical time to be in book publishing, boys. We really caught this thing at its apex. What else are we talking about? We have time for one more thing. How about the Ted Cruz, Jared C. Wilson thing? Is that a funny radio bit that we could get 2 minutes out of?
I think just bringing it up and picturing the look on Jared's face when he listens to this is...
Jared's had to have heard that before, though, right? I mean, there is an uncanny resemblance there in some ways. He's had to have heard that before.
I don't know. You ask him, baby. You're the one with access to Jared. Piper and I just... We stand on the outside of this thing. Just
Your friendship with Jared C. is through me. I get it.
My friendship is through book blurbs. And I have to weave kind of all the subtext of what I want out of the friendship into the blurb itself. You know what I mean? So I got to, in like four or five lines, accomplish everything that you get with, you know, frolicking through fields and taking pictures and stuff. So it's a little tougher for me.
I think what needs to happen is... For the church, and then all, like, people who invite Jared to come speak need to start interspersing pictures of Ted Cruz and just see who notices. Yeah. You know, that it's not in fact Jared. So, you know, like, they're like, our speaker lineup is Jared speaking on gospelness, and and then just put up the picture of Ted Cruz next to it and see who notices. Just sort of, and just take a tally.
Solid.
I think Jared's just going to be super offended because, you know, I don't think he looks at Ted, and by Ted, I mean Ted Cruz, not Ted Kluck, and sees a lot of similarity. You know what I mean? I think, you know, like, sometimes people say, you look just like that guy, and then you look at the guy and you go, man, I'm just not seeing it, because maybe either you don't see it or you don't want to see it, you know?
Jared's like, let me suggest an alternative Cruz.
Right, exactly.
And he whips out a picture of Tom Cruise circa, absolutely, like, Risky Business. You know,
absolutes. Like, I feel a little more. I feel like I'm resembling this dude a little bit better.
Exactly. I don't know. People have told me. By people, I mean my wife.
He's flashing a photo up of Jerry Maguire, going, I think this is me. This guy right here.
Yeah. That's she's me. Like, I can see it, honey. You know. Yeah.
And then he pulls out like Pitt in Legends of the Fall and goes, in fact, I think this is even closer.
My hair was a little longer. I was into horsemanship for a time. You know, three piece suits. Yeah.
Right.
And then he stomps his foot and yells, "That's my truth," and the argument ends.
That's My Truth, the new book by Jared C. Wilson.
Ooh. Now, didn't Jared do a big tchotchke deal with the Satan book or whatever?
Yeah, totally, man. It was the same deal. He got
what was a tchotchke? Get a little pitch.
Like a pentagram? What did he send?
Yeah.
Right. it was a gift card to like a Satan bookshop. I'm kidding. It was
Satan bookshop.
I don't know what the, because I got it, man. I don't remember what it was. I swear I don't remember what it was.
Baby, so you're saying these things are fleeting and throwaway?
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah. I know. The fact that this thing hasn't like lasted since I got it in like July. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't believe that for a second.
It was your personal seance kit. It had like candles. It had like the blackout drapes. It was a whole thing. Did you not get that? I got that, but you didn't.
Pipe, you must have got. I think he was trying to spare me, but like it was. Like it was an impressive box because it was a black. I mean, it looked dark. It looked like something that like Aleister Crowley used to send me. You know what I mean? It was like one of those. It was like, oh no, this is like what Led Zeppelin sent out back in 1972. When if you play the record backwards, it said like we love the devil and all that stuff.
If you read the book backwards, it has
right. It
has
says like subliminal. It says like Satan is cool or whatever. Satan's a sweet dude or whatever.
But only if you play it that way. While watching Wizard of Oz.
Correct.
Right.
So it comes in fact, a little if you DVD read it while you watch Wizard of Oz, all these things, you know, sort of like, you know, key into place.
Maybe it comes with a little flat screen, a little Dynex that you can watch Wizard of Oz on while you're reading the book.
Don't even
backwards.
Get me started on that.
I know, baby. I know. Dude, shout out Dynex.
Shout out to Dynex.com. If you're
our next sponsor.
In television.
No longer a company, but they'll still be our best, our next sponsor. Boys, we have done what we always do in this program, in that we have wandered to and pro throughout some things that we have close firsthand knowledge of, which is bookmarking. Hey,
can I get in a word real quick before you wrap us up, man?
Lay it on me, baby. It's your program.
Well, I feel like I had an epiphany about 4 seconds ago.
Okay.
And I feel like this might be up there with the most worthless episode we have ever recorded.
I hear what you're saying.
I just want a little dialogue before we end the program. That's
I receive that. That is valid because I affirm and celebrate your personhood, but it hurts me. Piper, where are you at on that?
That would require me remembering the majority of the episodes we've done to give a ranking, and I'm struggling to do that at the time, which means
it's up there. I didn't say it was number one.
I can't confirm or deny.
Now, baby, you're the man of the cloth here, and we do have time left. If you want to put a kind of a meaningful fine point on this thing by way of a conclusion, I think Piper and I would be all ears. We would be amenable to that. So
I appreciate that. Let me explain to you where I'm struggling right now. Here's where
I want to give you the floor. Okay,
I appreciate it. Thanks. As the main host, I appreciate you kind of putting me into that seat.
Yeah.
I can't literally for the life of me remember anything that we just talked about over the last 40 minutes. So I don't even know what to reference right now. I'm completely lost.
Hey, we talked about
Women to that.
We talked about A Men and A Women for a couple of minutes.
I don't even remember that part. Did we talk about that?
Talk about that. Ted and I did. Thought maybe your mic had dropped out.
You were conspicuously silent. I thought we were going to hear a good misogyny out of you.
I think that's the low-hanging fruit of pod topics, you know, maybe of all time for this week. So, yeah.
What's that, misogyny or A Men and
A
Women?
No, like A Men, A Women, A everything, you know.
What would you have said about that, baby? Piper and I were stepping on your takes on that one.
Oh, dude, I don't know. It's so irrelevant. I don't even know what to say about it.
Piper,
so
he's speechless. We've rendered him speechless.
It's not a good thing when you're on an audio medium and rendered speechless.
I mean, it is when the best thing to do is to be speechless about the rendering.
Got to be a little coy about that one, don't you? Mm. I mean, end of the day.
Boys, remember that time when we tried to end the pod at 40 minutes and it ended up going to like 57 and we just kept doing this, which was talk about nothing, like that one thing that we saw on social media this week, just literally like talking about nothing. Like
I do remember that, but I think we went about 90 minutes.
Did we go about 90? Yeah.
Felt like 90 minutes to us and to listeners.
It's insane. This is feeling like an hour and 90 minutes. And I don't know how to tell
you.
Are you going to do later today? What's your day like?
My day?
Yeah.
Well, dude, I don't know how to answer that. What do you mean?
What do you got going? I don't know. Just talk us through it. Piper and I we're just curious. We're just curious, guys.
A day in the life
of
Ronnie Martin seems captivating, at least via Instagram.
Well, man, it's a pretty ordinary day, so I don't, I don't want to blow. I don't want
to. Your ordinary might be my extraordinary. So give me a peek.
I don't want to destroy everybody's, you know, their. I don't want to destroy their dream.
It's not all Fields of Cotton and Jared C. Wilson trips for you.
It's not. Not today. Not today's pretty av. You know, it's going to be a pretty average day. So
are you are you going to crush the day? Are you going to kill it? Or are you going to run it through with a sword?
I'm going to destroy.
Are you going to take a 12 gauge and blow the head off this day?
Oh, I'm going to blow the head off this door. I'm going to get an axe and I am going to chop this day down and it's going to come crashing.
Ah, you're going to dismember the day. That's a good one.
I'm going to dismember this day.
Yeah.
I'm literally, excellent. Boys, I'm going to tear this day up limb
from limb.
From limb.
And then light it on fire.
Yeah, and then I'm going to write my sermon based on how that day went. It's going to be sweet.
That's good.
The sweet sense of murder of a day really does set you up to write a sermon.
Literally, man. I'm literally, by the end of this day, I'm going to be on, like, on murderer's row. I'm going to be literally heading to the gas chamber.
You're going to be on the Mount Rushmore of day crushers.
Absolutely.
All-time day crushers.
Yeah.
And you'll have such a feeling of satisfaction at the end. It will be in no way empty.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I am going to be like this day. I'm going to crush this day so hard. They're going to impeach me after this day. That's how hard I'm going to crush this day.
Dude, what if we just put something in our box that they could crush? Something very crushable. You know what I mean?
like a fortune cookie?
Yeah. Just crush it. Just stomp on it. Just
a fortune
it.
Cookie with like a secret message from us on the inside?
Dude, happier at fortune cookies. I want to make that a thing. I want to be in the cookie business.
We should have
with you,
fortune.
Baby.
So in the cereal box, we should have wrapped fortune cookies that have things and topics that we're going to be like discussing, or like words of wisdom we're going to be discussing along with our book.
But keep in mind, though, just by way of a caveat, we have a lot of respect for the book business.
Oh, 100%.
In spite of the last 46 minutes.
And fortune cookie makers.
Yeah, and correct. Fortune cookie and cereal box manufacturers.
Probably them and more than anybody.
And every person.
See, if you don't shut this thing down, I'm just going to leave this. We have to be done.
I mean, you did that 20 minutes into a podcast a couple weeks ago. So what's new?
I take full responsibility for it.
Also, Piper, I want to point out who wanted to say more on this podcast.
That's what I just said. I take full response.
Okay.
This is if you wanted him to do the pastor.
I feel like nobody listens to me. I just said I take full responsibility.
Maybe you wanted him to do the – I'm not listening. You wanted him to do the pastory thing?
I feel like I'm not here. I'm not heard on this broadcast.
The pastory thing is to say in closing and then and then 17 more minutes, which is about what we're at right now.
That's true,
Piper,
dude.
Like, I don't do that, man. When I say in closing, my sermon is done in like 40 seconds. Well, this is not a sermon.
That's fair. That's true.
Dude, if this was a – can you imagine if this was a sermon? How bad would this sermon be? I've heard some people do what we're doing at the
end. Dude, this is the emergent church. This is just like the dialogue.
This is my narrative. You can't judge this.
Yeah, this is a dialogue between three people, all of whom are teachers and learners, equal parts.
and all of whom are middle-aged white men. We're very emergent.
This was the dream of 2006 come to life. Man, this is church.
I feel the least teachy person in the world right now.
And for the sake of virtue signaling, we're all very socially distanced right now.
Absolutely. And that we're in different cities. We're the safest. Boys, congratulations on being the safest.
Boys, until next time.
Oh, there he is trying to end it, Pipe. You know what? I am going to end it.
I love how you wouldn't let me end it, Big T.
I'm not going to. That's my role.
Boys, you know, until next time.
We're stepping on each other's roles.
I love
right
how
now.
When I say that, everybody pauses. Until next time.
I'm just waiting for Ted to say it so I can stop this recording.
I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let Ronald's endings be one of the endings.
Until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey, there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.